Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh boy, I'm really looking for something cool to do in Australia at the moment.
Hey man, I know a couple of things you could do.
Yeah?
Are you going to be in Brisbane by chance anytime
soon? I think I won't, but I've got friends there.
Well, maybe you should tweet or tell your friends that Cameron James will be there from March 13 to 19 doing his show at the Brisbane Comedy Festival. And when I say he, I mean me. I am Cameron James.
I've heard he's funny. I've heard he's the next big thing.
It's me. You can just say you.
Okay, you.
Also, I'll be in Melbourne for the Melbourne Comedy Festival from the end of March to the end of April, doing every single night except for Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. So go to alist.com.au to get tickets. Please come along. It'll be so much fun to hang out with you, and I'll make you laugh for an hour, I promise.
And I also am hosting Greenlights Comedy Nights on the 31st of March. It's a Friday night at the Gaelic Club. It's only $10. It's in Sydney, baby. And it is headlined by the madman himself, John Conway.
Oh, that'll be fun. I wish I could be there, but unfortunately, I'll be doing my thing.
I will miss you.
I'll promise to try and miss you.
Thank you. On to the show!
It's Mike Check! It's Mike Check! The podcast by Mike Myers!
Good morning, horny babies. I'm holding the microphone stand. Good morning, Vietnam style right now. Robin Williams, the genie, RIP. But this is not about you, Rob, so chill out, bruv. This show is all about Mike Myers. You're listening to Mike Check with Cameron James and Alexi Toliopoulos, the only podcast where two comedians watch every single film in the Mike Myers filmography just to check if it's still good. And so far, pretty cool.
So far, quite shagadelic, baby.
I'm Cameron James, and that voice, the dulcet tones you just heard, then belong to none other than Alexi Toliopoulos. How are you, Lex?
I'm extremely cool. Thank you so much for asking. And how are you?
I'm pretty sexy,
okay, to be honest. So far, doing pretty good today.
Yeah, if we only need the third element, which is funny. Hopefully, that comes along sometime soon. We're sitting in the Mike Check Republic. It's a rainy day in Sydney, New South Wales, Australia, and we are here to talk about Mike Myers.
Yes, usually we talk about movies of Mike Myers, but today we're doing something a little bit different.
Today we're going to talk, I would like to talk specifically about the character of Austin Powers, perhaps the notion of a character actor.
Yes.
And maybe where comedy comes from when it comes to characters.
And we've got an expert in that field. I like to think of us as Mike historians.
Sure. Can I just go back for 1 second and just change what you said to Shrekspert?
Yes, we do have a Shrekspert in our midst today. Cameron and I are more academically based in the Mike Myers arts. We analyze his films. We're fans, and there may be a little bit of him within us. We are Mike's tykes. But we're talking today to someone who I think shares a lot of Mike's DNA when it comes to being a performer. They are a wonderful dude, an actor, comedian, a rock star. We're talking to Dave Eastgate today.
Hey! Party on, Cam.
Party on, Dave.
Party on, Alexi.
Thank you, dude.
I am so horny.
Oh, yeah, I could tell.
Oh, man.
You've tucked it up.
I am the horniest of babies.
That's true. Right, you are. And you know, here's a fun fact for you, Dave. We when we first started this podcast, your name was, before we even did a first episode, your name was one of the very few first names that we had when we were like, we need to get Dave Eastgate on the podcast. And it has taken us a lot longer than we thought it would. And for that, I'm sorry.
it's partly my fault.
You've been busy.
I'm huge now.
Yeah.
You made
it. I'm too big for this.
Yeah, you're slumming it, which is fair enough. You're allowed to slum it down here with us. But thanks for taking the time out.
Oh, I'm so stoked to be here. And you guys know how horny I am right now. Like, this is...
We're in the room. We can feel it. We can see it.
I can smell it.
Yeah. Quite the pheromones, Mr. Eastgate.
I've been listening to this podcast. I love it. I love Mike. I love the horny babies. I love it all. I just love it all. And I was so stoked when I got a shout out in like the first episode.
Oh, we're the Japanese. Oh, of course. Japanese thing. Oh, I want to talk about that again. But first,
we'll get to that later.
I'd like to begin.
Let's begin
at the beginnings, which is, what is your relationship like to Mike?
Look, I want to. I kind of felt like I wanted to teach you guys a few things because you're so you weren't there. Really. Like, you really weren't.
That's true. Like, that's true.
It's true. Yeah, we never lived in a world before Mike.
You didn't really live in... You don't know pre-Mike what it was like. Oh, my God. It was... Yeah. It was dark. It was gloomy.
Why don't you tell us
about
that?
People were sad.
Everyone was talking about bloody Hicks, weren't they?
Bill Hicks.
Before Mike came and changed the game.
Robin Williams. Yeah. You know.
R.I.P. Tragically, we lost him.
Rock and Robin is the podcast I want to do about Robin Williams. just me rocking out and talking about Robin Williams.
You've met that great man, Robin Williams.
I have. I did a gig with him in King's Cross in 2010. He was a beautiful man.
Can you believe that you didn't even have to drop that name just then?
No. Yeah.
Alexi
dropped
it for you.
Oh, my God. See? I was so glad you said it.
Yeah. What was I going to do? Not let it happen? Just go, yeah, he's cool. I go, you know firsthand he's cool.
So you remember a world.
So, listening to Hamish Blake talk about it, I really related because, you know, pre-Wayne's World, I thought I'd mention this as well. We had Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Bodacious Journey.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the benchmark there. And so I'm not just a comedy nerd, but I am a proper heavy metal nerd and a proper rock and roller. And that's what spoke to me about Bill and Ted's.
Mm.
And by God, that's what spoke to me about Wayne's World. Oh, my God, that was the most amazing thing that had ever happened to me. I was 13 years old. 13 years old.
Yeah.
I saw it in the cinema.
Oh, you did?
Oh, my God. 1992.
Oof.
Just, now, did you know about Mike from SNL or anything at that point? Or was this just something you saw ads for it and you're like, I've got to go.
Well, this is also pre-cable television in Australia.
Yeah, sure.
So we knew of Saturday Night Live because we would get my local video store.
You get those best ofs?
Yeah, best ofs. Mm. You know, Chevy Chase but Eddie Murphy's best of was the one.
Oh, yeah.
That was the one.
The Gumby sketches.
Oh, my God. Buckwheat.
Yeah. I love Buckwheat.
James Brown.
Yeah, man. James Brown's hot tub.
So little Richard Simmons, one of my favorite ones.
So good.
So good. So you knew of Saturday Night Live, and so I guess when it came out, but we'd never seen any of Wayne's World at all. So to us, it was just a movie. But like Hamish said, like everyone at school was walking around, you know, everything was Schwing and, you know, Psycho Hose Beast was a popular term. And so it was just everyone was just quoting Wayne's World all the time. Like when we would, you know, you'd play cricket on the road, you know, on the street. Or whatever, whenever a car would come by, you know, game off, game on, that whole, you know, so, yeah, oh my God. So Wayne's World was just, it was huge, man. It changed the world.
Were you already into like the heavy metal at that point?
Mm, yeah, big time.
So you're already just, this movie is 100% just speaking to you.
Oh my God, just amazing. And hearing Bohemian Rhapsody for the first time, I'd never heard Bohemian Rhapsody as a, you know, so... Whenever I hear that song now, it's not even like I have no reference point to that pre-Wayne's World.
Well, because that's the thing we've talked about this before as well. That because that song that film reintroduced that song to a whole new generation, and people like us, we don't We only know Queen retrospectively.
Yeah.
Our parents would have been like, oh, this is funny that they're using an old Queen song in this scene. But for us, that's the definitive version.
That's why people sing it at parties.
Yeah, to this totally.
That's well, it.
That was it. Like, it didn't get played at parties prior to that.
Yeah.
And then suddenly
now
you couldn't
staple.
Have, yeah, you couldn't have a party without that happening.
It's like...
And everybody...
End of the night sort of thing. Everyone's fully wasted and just screaming along to that song. I still, let's have a party tonight and fucking do it.
Guys, come on, let's have a drink tonight, please. I'm dying for one. I think as well, your experience with the film, it means so much to me to kind of see it this way. Because when I rewatch the film now as an adult and now becoming a fan of Penelope Spheeris in her own right as well, it makes me see why it worked. It's all the groundedness in the film that she brings to her about the true feelings of what heavy metal rock is and the subculture of it. And that's why I think connected with you so much.
Totally.
I think that because, makes me so excited.
Yeah, as well, I guess around that time you also had Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
And again, Beavis and Butthead was hard to get. You know, this was like, it's so weird when you think back before the internet. And what you had to do to get that stuff. And often, you know, I remember TP for my bunghole was like, I kind of knew that. I knew that before I'd seen it. Like, that was it was just something that everybody said, you know, I'm calling all your TP for my bunghole.
I still say it.
And so I could say, totally. And like, you would, I knew the accent, I knew the sketch, or the bit. And we would say it all the time before I'd even seen it.
Oh, fully. I mean, there are versions of that by the time I was in high school. People were quoting Napoleon Dynamite and fucking Anchorman and stuff.
Borat,
I guess. Yeah, before I'd even seen it, you know.
Exactly.
But I was wondering, if that's the case, if you hadn't really had a chance to get to know Mike Myers as an SNL player, was this movie the first time you would have seen him as an actor?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Dana Carvey as well.
Yeah.
And so I had a best mate at school and he was...
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, it was really...
That's
Mum and Dad
awesome.
Was so... They were really happy. I came home, I said, I've got a best
Guys,
mate.
Guys, sit down.
Guys, you're not going to believe this.
He's fully real and he's fully fucking cool.
but he, I was blonde and he was brunette.
Yes.
And he kind of had he's kind of had a Mike kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And so it was as if, you know, like I would imagine us as Wayne and Garth.
Yeah.
God,
you
were the
Garth
in
Garth.
Your fantasy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Big time.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Did you ever like draw pictures of stuff like that? Of you guys as...
Yeah, no, I used to actually draw pictures of my bands, like future bands and me playing in the band, and my best mate Parko playing on the drums.
Oh,
that is awesome.
Yeah, so big revolving drum kits and all that sort of stuff.
What do you think it was that made you...
I always had a goatee, by the way.
In your drawings.
Yeah, in my drawings of myself.
Dude, you've got to live your dream. Shave the beard off, leave the chin strap.
When I was in high school, I used to draw pictures of my future bands as well. And even though I can't play drums, I play guitar and can try to sing a little bit, in the drawings, I was always the drummer.
Yeah,
and my
right.
nickname was Sticks. With an X. STIX.
Very cool.
Yeah, very cool. Because my dad was awesome. A drummer and I wanted to be like my dad. But alas, didn't have the rhythm.
Wow.
Right.
When I was a child, I actually drew my own fan fiction of the Lindsay Lohan Parent Trap, where I was the little brother that their parents had when they reunited and then we went on another adventure. So I guess we all kind of lived
our
dreams.
We're all pretty similar,
We're all pretty similar blokes in this room. Actually, I found it a couple of years ago,
you
and actually, I really awoke stuff within me that I totally blocked out of my head.
Have you still got it?
I think I burned it. I had to get rid of it. It awoke too much of my past that I suppressed.
I used to draw pictures of movies starring me and Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah,
because I wanted to be
my
like
cam.
I was the girl, and he fell in love with me, and then he died.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I always, because you've got a thing about Silverchair, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I always wanted to be Because we had a band in high school. We were called Escape Life Live, mm-hmm. ELA.
Mm.
And then we changed our name to the much heavier Vortex.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I can fully see that logo.
Yeah. Mm. And we wanted, and I'd seen there was a child heavy metal band in the 80s from in America that kind of broke and then died in the arse. But then I was like, guys, you know, there's a market out there for a teenage band.
Yeah.
You know, Vortex is going to take over the world. Like, you know, we just need to keep at this and you know. And then Silverchair came out and I was so cut. I was so dirty. I was like, fuck those guys. They did it.
The Novocastrians.
The Novocastrians.
Fucking cracked it.
I cracked it.
I just want to leave a note for myself later. Great idea for a children's band, heavy metal type stuff. Marilyn Hanson. Just leave that out there for myself.
Oh, fuck. That's maybe awesome. You could draw some pictures of Marilyn Hanson as well with you playing along. So, okay, I want to know, what do you think made you connect to Mike Myers, especially from seeing Wayne's World? What was it about him as a comedy actor or a presence or whatever that just grabbed you?
Man, and Dana, I gotta say, like, just Wayne's World in itself, like, because then it came out on video, then we'd watch it every afternoon.
Yeah.
It was something about the rock and the comedy that it's just
a perfect blend.
It was a perfect blend. And I just, but then later when we did get cable TV and you were able to see the SNL stuff in the late 90s, the versatility of those guys, and Dana again, like it's hard, isn't it? Because Dana is kind of lost a little bit and he's kind of underrated.
Well, actually, I'm fine.
But that whole, master of disguise thing, it was just like, what, dude? You're trying to. It's like he's trying real hard, to prove that he is, that he can do all these voices and do all these tricks. And it's just like, dude, you're doing too much. Like, pick one.
Yeah.
You know. I actually purchased a little present for Alexi Toliopoulos. He may already know what it is, but because I sent him a photo of it already, because I couldn't contain the secret anymore.
You mean you've spent more than 33 cents?
I've spent $5 on Saturday Night Live, the best of Dana Carvey.
Oh my god, it's still sealed. It's the original one.
Yep. So we can put a photo of that up on the Facebook page. But maybe we can do it. Maybe we can carve it up about that.
Oh boy, I'm gonna hand it over to those carving it up boys. Make a podcast about it.
So I'm totally in agreement with you on that. That Dana is kind of, he was the golden child of SNL.
Yeah,
is what we know now. He was the guy who could do it all, who could do super voices, funny characters.
And I think he and Mike are so good together. They've both got that understanding of that kind of suburban rock world. Because I always think the iconic Dana Carvey bit is Chopping Broccoli. And I think that is so in the same vein as what Mike was doing with Wayne. And I think that's why that marriage works so well.
Yeah. And there just is no Wayne's World without Dana. Like, he's such an integral part of that.
And because you're a bit of a comedy nerd like us, I can imagine when you're first getting to watch some SNL stuff when you're younger, it would have been a full fantasy of you to be on that show.
Oh, 100 and bit. Still.
Yeah.
Still. It's exactly. And that was the thing. It was like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah. Mm.
That's what I want to do with my life.
Just weekly characters.
And, you know, I loved, and around that time, Sandler's coming out as well, and he's doing music. And so when I first started in stand-up, I did characters and I did the Scottish rap.
I've seen it.
I don't want to brag, but I won Red Faces.
Yes, baby.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But all that
didn't get gonged.
No, didn't get. Did get gonged.
Okay,
but nice. got a 7.
Oh,
off Red
from Red. Yeah, that's high praise from Red.
Yeah, we got a 9 from Chris Anstey, the basketball player. We got an 8 off Billy Piper.
Oh God, and I love Billy Piper
from Doctor Who.
From Doctor Who, and we got a
Honey
7
to the Bee.
Honey to the Bee. Yeah. It's you for me.
Yeah,
which was the song that she was singing on the show.
I had the biggest crush on Billy Piper. Yeah, and me still too. Do.
Oh no, mic didn't work that night. She went to sing Honey and the Bee, and they had to start again.
I had to start again, Adele style.
Oh, no.
And it's, but actually, it was weird because if you watch the video, she puts the eight the wrong way around. So it's actually infinity.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's the highest score on Red Faces.
Yeah, you made it.
We totally did. but the reason why we did that, and I wasn't sure whether I wanted to, where I was going to talk about this, but it ties in. So where I lived on the Gold Coast, 46 Marbella Drive, my parents are still there, paying a visit. All right.
tell them Mike Check sent you.
Hey, we're a couple of horny babies. Mr. and Mrs. Eastgate, you guys home?
But at 47 Marbella Drive, there was an American family that moved in. And the husband of the family was an actor called Whip Hubley, which I think is the best.
Great name.
It's the best name for an American actor.
Yeah.
Whip Hubley.
Whip.
I'm Whip Hubley.
Whip Hubley. And if you just say the middle part, it's pube, which is cool. And that's just something for the little horny babies out there to take home.
Whip Hubley.
What do we know Whip Hubley from?
Whip Hubley, when he was there at 47 Marbella Drive, he was the... father in Flipper, in the new adventures of Flipper.
Whip from Flipper.
but he's best known as Hollywood in Top Gun.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
And he's also in Executive Decision.
Yep.
With
Easy. Steven Seagal.
Kurt Russell.
Oh, right.
And so he's one of the SEAL Team 6 or whatever it is that take down the plane and save the president and all that sort of stuff.
Whip.
He's a pretty heavy dude. But the thing that blew me away was that... So my sister was their babysitter. And she came home and she told me that the lady, Whip's wife...
Mrs. Hubley.
Was the associate producer of Wayne's World. She's the first name in the credits.
Really?
As the movie finishes, her name is the first name in the credits. So I fucking lose my shit, right?
Yeah.
Dinah Hubley,
yeah,
or Dinah Minow is what her professional name was. Yeah. She was an executive. She was talent executive on SNL. She was an associate producer on SNL.
Oh my god!
She was associate producer of Wayne's World 2, Black Sheep.
Oh wow!
We just talked about that.
I know. And Tommy Boy and Al Franken's one, Stuart.
Oh, Stuart Little? Stuart Small.
Stuart Smalley? Small. Yeah.
How did they get away with that?
No one really noticed, to be honest. That's a huge connection.
So it's huge. So
that's
like,
huge.
We used to play cricket in that bit of street and chuck the ball and say game on, game off on her driveway. Oh, like, you know what I mean?
Do you know what she thought about that? Did she touch by it?
Well, she's a tough kind of New York lady. Like she just doesn't get sentimental about that kind of stuff like I did. But then, so I'm like, you know, to my sister, I'm like, you got to get me in the room.
If I can just get in the room, do the Eastgate thing.
and I went over and I spoke to her, and then she came and saw me do stand up. She came and saw me at, I was at that point, I was working at Crazy's Comedy Restaurant, which was a seminal moment in my career.
I've worked in comedy restaurants as well.
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome. But
get your chops up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Singing, dancing.
Chops as well.
Chopping.
Serving them.
Just serving chopping. Lamb chops. Yeah,
actually serving lamb chops.
Anyway, so she came down one night and she actually brought John Paul Langbrook. Who Kate Langbrook's brother, who became the Premier of Queensland.
Okay.
Weirdly enough.
This is a
big... I love a name drop. God damn it.
This is a heavy hitting room in there.
We're going to need to sweep this floor up afterwards with all the names.
Oh, where's Robin Williams again?
Yeah. Oh, God.
So many names, so few pockets, they just fall out. So look, long story short, she was like, look, I really like you as a performer, you should get on SNL, you should try and do this. Let me help you out with that. She's like, get me a show reel. And I'm like, fucking a what? Like, I'm 18. I have no idea how to do any of this sort of shit. So I went on Hey Hey and gave her the Hey Hey tape. And then she asked for a biography. And, I had no idea, right?
Yeah.
So I've given her a photo album.
Oh my God.
With lots of pictures of me.
That is so good.
And a story about my life, where I'd grown up. What subjects I excelled at school. Oh,
that is so good. But that's the way to do it. Still, when people ask for a bio, I write like three lines.
Like a leather bound, a leather bound photo album. It was like publication
quality.
Oh, so good.
With certificates for drama in it. And my fucking...
The original.
Oh, my certificate from NIDA Winter School, 1994. Oh, God,
that is so good. Oh, my God. If only that got into the hands of Lorne.
I know. she said... And she was talking to Heath. She's like, and I'll get Bernie Brillstein and we'll get...
Oh, my God, like, number one.
Blah, 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 blah. So anyway, so they ended up leaving and they went back to LA and I ended up getting a very severe heroin addiction. And
because they left.
Because they left.
So it's her fault. It's your fault, Dinah. And Whip.
And Whip. Whip and Dinah. Well, Whip didn't mind a joint back in the day. We used to go and smoke some joints with Whip.
Gateway.
But it was great because I felt so close to it all.
Yeah.
And then it was like, fuck, man, I was on and off heroin and fucking ecstasy and fucking crystal meth had just came out. And so, you know, like I was shooting crystal meth and all this sort of crazy shit.
Mm.
This is like 98, 99, 2000 even. So it's
Spy Who Shagged Me kind of era.
Yeah.
People need that for their timeline to figure it out.
Yeah, so I would write to her like on these drug binges.
Oh, my God.
At least big, long-winded fucking emails about what I was doing and all this shit that I was
doing. You're just updating the bio. Oh.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Can you please print this out and stick it in the leather-bound book?
Oh, fuck. But anyway, so around that time is when I was playing Austin Powers. At Movie World.
This is why we were like, we got to get Dave on the podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm writing to her. I'm going, you know, here's a video of me. Like, and I'd send her these videos of me playing Austin Powers at Movie World and fucking, And then I eventually gave up, just to round off that chapter, that diner thing, is that I ended up visiting them in 2004. And she was like, dude, I'm so sorry that I filled your head with all that shit. Like, she was like, I was out of the business by that stage. I was raising kids. I really didn't have the connection there as anymore kind of thing. It was like, you know, it was, and so we still keep in touch and I'm still sending her updates.
So
one day she's going to send it all back and you can just print it off.
Yeah.
Do you think that she was genuinely a fan of your, like she liked your work
and she liked having that sort of
relationship with you as like almost a mentor figure? Or?
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. But it was one of those things where, and what I said to her was, I wasn't ready. For that. I thought a bio was a fucking photo album. Yeah. You know, it's on the fucking Gold Coast. Like, I'm not one of these big flash Sydney boys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I just had no idea. So, yeah. So that was kind of it. But then, doing fucking Austin Powers at Movie World. Every day.
See, now that is, I'm so glad we've just chronologically made our way to that point in your life too, because that... Look, you're in rarefied air, okay? Because to my knowledge, before I knew that you'd played Austin Powers at Dreamworld, only three actors had ever portrayed the famous character of Austin Powers. Obviously, we've got Mike Myers. Right.
Myers is a great actor.
Yeah, he's all right, isn't he?
Yeah, he's really good.
I'd say he originated the role.
Yeah.
Yeah, he created the role. Yeah. Tom Cruise has
portrayed Austin Powers.
In Austin Pussy.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Aaron Himmelstein has played a young Austin Powers in the flashback sequences.
Yeah.
And then we can add a fourth name to that, Dave Eastgate.
And also that little baby from the one scene as well. Do you want to count him?
Yeah, chuck him in there.
Yeah.
That was five.
Yeah. Yeah, that was little me. Looks exactly like me now. It's that baby, little fat baby with glasses. That's exactly what I look like.
So you worked at Dreamworld. You're a performer, like a street performer type there.
Yeah. I did stunts.
And you did stunts.
The Bushranger stunt show.
Is that where you started, at the stunt show?
I started in the stunt show when I was 16.
Oh my God.
So I was the youngest member of the stunt show.
For some listeners that don't know what Movie World is.
Dreamworld first.
Dreamworld first. And Dreamworld.
And then Dreamworld then to Crazy's Comedy Restaurant for 6 months. And then I quit that because I couldn't do stand-up because it was always at night.
So
and then went to Movie World.
And that's the normal path for stand-ups in Australia. For us, this is well-trodden territory. But Movie World is Hollywood on the Gold Coast, if you don't know. It is basically a theme park, Warner Brothers theme, so like Batman, Scooby-Dooby-Doobies.
And when we say Hollywood, like the really scummy parts of Hollywood.
It's mainly casting couches.
It's all just a mixture of like Grauman's Chinese Theater and Universal Backlot. That's all it is.
So when you started, I presume you'd played other characters before you got to play Austin.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take on the Crush Red Velvet, as it were. Now, where did you start? What characters were you playing first?
Bugs Bunny.
Okay. So you're in the full Sylvester mask at that point. Yeah. Yeah. Same with Sylvester.
Foghorn Leghorn.
Okay.
Because it was one of those things like at Dreamworld, you know, I was the king of the hill.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I was in the stunt team and then, you know, Crazy's on the star of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Movie World, you have to start at the bottom.
Yeah,
you got to
start.
Of course, you didn't have your bio to hand off. I didn't know what to do.
You only had that one copy of your bio.
I know. That's the problem. I didn't have my best actor certificate from the Southport School. So Bugs, all those, so you do all them. And then I did Police Academy warm-up.
Yeah, awesome.
That would have been an interesting gig.
It was an interesting gig.
Yeah,
miming and kind of as the ushering the crowd in and kind of just doing little stupid little.
So you're getting your chops up with how to interact with people.
Mime on a podcast, but I'll show you what I did. But yeah, but anyway, but yeah, so, and then, yeah, got an opportunity to audition for Austin.
You had to audition.
Yeah.
What did you have to prepare? A monologue?
You just had to do Austin, yeah.
So you just had to do an impression of Austin?
Yeah. Yeah.
So can you do some?
I don't want to know.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one of a kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you found the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm feeling depressed. It was just like, oh yeah, baby, do I make you horny?
Yes. Do I? He just snapped back into it, guys.
Yes, you are making me freaking horny right now. The answer is yes, 1,000 times yes.
But then they molded teeth. So there was this dentist. God. There was this, I don't know what you call someone who molds teeth, but a dentist, maybe, whatever.
Am I focusing on that fucking detail? Sorry, I'll just Google it. Yeah. Click. Yep, dental technician. You nailed it.
Anyway, so he did them for free because he was such a, or maybe for Whoa. Some just for some tickets to Movie World, he made, like, because I think there was three or four guys that
that did Austin. And so we all had an individual pair of teeth made for us.
Oh my goodness.
And he was just such a Movie World fan that all he wanted was tickets and kind of did them for free. So we went up and did the whole molding thing and then, you just go to work and fucking beat Austin. And in the morning we would do a parade, just Austin with some dancers. All in
sort of like the opening sequence,
basically the opening sequence, and that and those moves and the dance it down the street, and then I think we'd do that twice a day, and you'd also be in the big parade with all the other characters and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Now I have a question, because Austin and listeners of this show will know this is horny.
Yes.
Now, when you're performing at a theme park with children around.
The fuck. Well, I was about to say, it's the fucking best. And then you're like, with kids. Hello. That's not the good part.
No. But did you have to tone down the horniness when you're around kids?
Yes, no. I mean, when you. It's a fairly family-friendly movie. He's not getting his cock out. But the best part was, we would do. In between these parades and these shows, you would do just meet and greets.
Yeah.
So you're just hanging out on the street being Austin.
Yeah.
And it's the fucking best fun. Honestly, it was just the fucking best fun in the world.
I think to be Austin Powers would be so freeing.
Amazing. Oh, totally. And just the amount of sexual harassment that you were subjected to.
I bet.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Just women just grabbing you.
Yeah.
And, you know, want, like, and going, oh, you make me so horny, and you know, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, getting photos with chicks.
Yeah.
And, well, when I say chicks, like old lady tourists. it wasn't the hottest of chicks.
But you got to take what you can get.
Exactly.
When I worked at a theatre restaurant, I had to play Captain Jack Sparrow. And it just, when people have had just a few too many drinks and they see, like, the outline of someone who Johnny Depp played in their brain, they're like, that's Johnny Depp. And or in your case, Austin Powers, oh, he's horny. That's cool. I'll go hang out with a horny character and just grab his ass all the time.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. It was great.
Now, I want to ask you some actor-based questions when it comes to getting into the role, getting into character as Austin. Now, famously, Mike Myers claimed that the character of Austin was inspired by his father. Now, did you pull into some... Sorry, his father.
Yeah.
Did you pull from some emotional truths in order to become the character of Austin Powers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where did you delve into your emotional psyche?
I would arrive at Movie World
at
8 a.m.
Okay.
And I would just take some time out to just think about my fascia and what it would be like to have a father that you actually liked.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Daddy wasn't there. They were very close.
Yeah.
Mike and his father were very close.
Yeah, they were.
So I had to imagine what that would be like. Having a father who loved you.
Turns out pretty good.
Yeah, it was great. It was actually very therapeutic. No, I would fucking be, mate. I think I even did it on acid one time. Like I was, I was so fucked up, man. I would rock into work just like I hadn't slept, been out all night.
When you did it on acid, is it true that you recreated the opening scene from Austin Powers 2 where you did it fully naked? Just quickly running from object to object to shield your dick behind it?
Yeah.
Like lollipops and stuff like that.
It's at Movie World, so the angles weren't great.
It's all just Dagwood dogs that you can hide behind as well. Little
and
Pluto
children.
Pups. Yeah. What was the Austin costume like? What was it?
It was fairly cheap shoes. I remember that. Very
square toed leather shoes.
They would hurt. At the end of the day, dancing on concrete.
Did they have heels? Like, were they boots?
Beetle boots. Yeah, it was all, and it was all kind of, you know, it was all replica on the thing. You had a wig and the glasses and the teeth, and the transformation was Yeah.
Complete.
It was complete.
Yeah. Did you have the male symbol necklace?
The whole kit and caboodle.
Oh.
And the red, but that. the red suit.
Yeah.
Did it trap heat in there?
Yeah, yeah, it was very sweaty.
In the blaring sun of the Gold Coast.
Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, dude, it was...
And you had to do full dance sequences as well.
Yeah, and just sweating crystal meth. Like... Because I'd been up all night writing an email to Dinah Hubrick. Oh, my God. But it would rotate, so you would only do... I'd do it maybe once or twice a week.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then you know, then I'd be in Bugs Bunny or I'd be at Police Academy. But yeah, the other guys that did... One guy who did it, a guy called John Blunt, and he is now actually a Freddie Mercury impersonator.
Really? Oh, really?
Yeah, man. Like, the best. In fact, he was recently in a documentary biopic about Freddie Mercury. It was on, like, I want to say like Channel 4 in the UK or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So like it's yeah, in fact, yeah, Google John Blunt, Freddie Mercury, and he's fucking a genius. But he used to play Freddie, he used to play Roy Orbison, who he was brilliant at.
Oh, yeah.
Like, who,
this guy's got good range.
Oh, he's fucking amazing. An amazing singer and an amazing impressionist. But his Austin was the fucking best, man. Like, he was...
That's so funny because I guess that's the two paths you can go down if that's where you begin, where you are an impressionist sort of for life, and you just go down that route of becoming an impressionist or like a tribute act or something?
Yeah, well, he's full-time Freddie Mercury. His band is called Killer Queen.
Oh, wow.
And check him out. It's phenomenal.
But you went down a different path. You started becoming, I guess, a character actor, a comedy character.
Well, that was it. Like,
stand-up.
Because I didn't want to just pretend to be Austin Powers. Mm. I wanted to be Mike Myers.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, it was like, how do I do this? What do I do? And it was stand-up. That was it. It was like, I've got to do stand-up and I've got to do characters in stand-up and all that sort of stuff. And so that was my whole focus. I didn't want to be a stand-up. I wanted to be on Saturday Night Live. Sketch comedy was all that I was interested in eventually doing. My plan was this. Become famous as a stand-up, then get into sketch comedy, and then get into the serious acting comedy. And it didn't quite work out like that.
Well, so it's going that way, isn't it?
Well, it's still... kind of... Well, basically, I'm still not famous for stand-up or sketch. Because the sketch shows that I've done, nobody fucking watched.
Come on. You've got you must have fans from those shows.
Oh, a little girl came up to me recently. She's about 12. And she came up and she tapped me on the shoulder. And she said... excuse me, you look like the man from Open Slather. Is it really you? And it's like the fucking only time I've ever been recognized from Open Slather. And I was just like, I nearly cried. I just held this shot. And her parents were like, okay, it's time to go now. I'm going, no, totally.
It's not him.
But I did. Look, I did get to do sketch comedy and I have done all the things that I did set out to do.
And you'll continue to do
hopefully.
I've been with you. You're talking like this is the...
I don't want to be like, I've been on Doctor now. I am done.
See you guys.
See you guys. Yeah. That's it. I made it.
I'm going back to Bugs Bunny.
Here's my bio.
I've been with you and you've been recognized from things. I swear I've been with you. Obviously, I've been weirdly. I reckon the weirdest one, and I guess it must be so commonplace for you now, is that I've been out with you and you've been recognized from X Factor.
Yeah, that's the fuck stuff. Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
That shits me. I get recognized. Well, people listening here go, yeah. Who the fuck is this guy? Well, I do. One of the gigs I do is warming up like X Factor and The Voice and So You Think You Can Dance and all that.
Are you getting recognized from Doctor now?
Yes, a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Oh, you were nominated for a Logie.
I was.
I voted for you.
Thank you.
Me too, just to let the record show.
Thank you. So did my dad.
Yeah, well,
no,
there you go.
No, he didn't. No, of course not.
My mum voted for you, so there you go.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah, you got one from Jenny.
Oh, Jenny.
Yeah, she's done it.
Oh, Jenny, thank you so much. It's a bit of an ordeal doing that whole voting thing.
You have to go through all
a lot of them.
Yeah.
Through every category.
Especially
that's why I really appreciate it if you did. Yeah. Like,
I think it's worth it when you've got a few mates that you're like, yeah, I'll do them the solid.
Well, that's what I did. Yeah. This year I was like, all right, I know about five people that are nominated. I'll just do the whole thing.
I voted for myself.
Yeah, you got to.
Several times under different aliases.
Okay, because you've done some... Australia doesn't really give sketch that much of a chance, but you've gotten to do it on a few different programs now, like Elegant Gentleman's Guide to Knife Fighting, obviously Open Slather. You were part of Wednesday Night Fever, which I guess was the closest that we've come to an SNL type show.
Yeah. Instead of SNL, it was a WNF.
Yeah. And how do you feel about how did that feel getting to sort of live out a childhood
dream? Amazing. You can't put it in. And the best part about Wednesday Night Fever was that I wasn't just in the sketches, I was the house band as well.
Yeah.
You know, I was Paulie Schaefer.
That is sort of the dream gig.
Oh man, honestly,
for you, because you get to do exactly what you said at the start, which is blend like comedy and metal, like and full rock stuff.
100%.
That's like that seems like on paper, if it was the Dave Eastgate show, that's what you would do.
Yeah.
You'd be playing music and you'd be doing sketches.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's get this show up and running.
Yeah, I know. Oh, so here's that. So my band Boner Contention at our weekly gig at Frankie's Pizza doing the karaoke. We do Ballroom Blitz.
Yes.
Yes.
We
Crucial
do,
Taunt.
What's the other one we do? Feed My Frankenstein.
Yes, all Wayne's World songs.
Yeah.
I love that
and,
song.
And obviously some Aerosmith in there. Uh-huh. But we don't do Bohemian Rhapsody. You can't do it.
No, too hard. Too much. You do Foxy Lady. I swear I've seen you do Foxy Lady.
Oh, so that was the other one? Foxy Lady.
Yes.
I've got a Foxy Lady fact to bring up that we've never talked about on the podcast. Uh-huh. The dream woman, Garth's dream woman in the movie, beautiful lady. Can you look her up? I can't remember her name right now.
Sure.
But she has a connection to Saturday Night Live as well.
Right.
She is Dan Aykroyd's wife.
Oh,
for many,
shit.
Many years. Still together to this day.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Dream. Oh, there's a whole wiki page on the Wayne's World wiki for this character. Her name is Donna Dixon.
Donna Dixon.
Donna
Mrs.
Dixon.
Mrs. Dan Aykroyd.
Wow.
Lucky, lucky boy.
Yeah. He's done all right for himself, old Dan.
It's a pretty decent... I mean, it's for a character that only has one line, she's got a fairly decent wiki page.
Yeah.
Her only line is, I love you, Garth. And that's great.
God, we got to get an entry on the Wayne's World
wiki
page.
Oh, this is actually sad. It's the final line of the bio for this character, Dream Woman, is... Strangely, Dream Woman isn't in Wayne's World 2, maybe because Donna Dixon wasn't available or because Garth lost interest in her.
Garth!
Oh, God. So fickle.
I know.
Oh, it's breaking imaginary hearts everywhere he goes.
How rude is that?
Oh, my God.
Before we start wrapping up, I'd love to talk to you more about some other Mike Myers stuff.
Yes.
So the first time we talked about you on this podcast was in direct relation to, I think, one of the sketches that we were kind of mixed on. Because it was one that we loved, but we felt weird saying that we loved it, which is the Japanese game show sketch from Saturday Night Live. I think it's seriously it's one of the best sketches.
I love it. But I can understand other people have said to us that they reckon it's, I don't know, offensive something. But I can't. I mean, Mike is speaking Japanese.
You said he speaks actual Japanese.
Everybody is speaking actual Japanese.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, I lived in Japan for 5 years and I speak fluent Japanese and I can verify that they are actually speaking Japanese. Alec Baldwin is speaking the best Japanese.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What does kwaki supi nipu mean?
Do you know what? I can't even think what that might be right off the top of my head.
I can't believe Baldwin... It's so crazy that Baldwin has been such a staple of SNL for so long. And he's now basically a cast member of that show. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
He's probably done more eps than like Jenny Slate ever did.
Yeah, he probably has. He's just been around for so long. It's so good.
Yeah, and so you would imagine that he's also he would have done hundreds of, well, maybe not hundreds, but dozens of press junkets in Japan. So he's probably got the most experience with it. Mm. But Japanese is quite easy to bluff.
Yeah.
If you don't know what you're saying, but you can, because it's all phonetic, which English isn't. Isn't a phonetic language, and neither is, and Chinese is probably, the hardest language to bluff. But Japanese is very straightforward phonetic. So, yeah, they're all obviously reading off cue cards, but it's definitely Japanese. And I loved it. Like,
yeah.
And I mean, God, it's not for me to say what's racist and what isn't, but I guess.
Give it a shot.
Let's make it definitive. Let's all go around.
It's a different time. And I think there's a potentially, I mean, fuck, I could be wrong. Who knows in this day and age. But the Japanese, I would suggest, I'm speaking on behalf of the people of Japan, I don't think they'd be offended by that. In fact, Japanese people do long nose instead of yellow face or black face, they do long nose.
Oh my God.
So they put on these big noses and pretend to be Western. and so there's like, and they'll talk like now this. So my friends used to do English, but like making it up. So it'd be like this. Oh, man, huh? Come on, man. Oh, come on, yeah. Yeah, man, yeah. And is that racist? I don't know. I think it's pretty fucking funny myself.
I think where I've kind of come to with that sketch is, I think at the time it would have been quite cutting edge because it is like quite a really hard sketch to do.
It's a concept
on Saturday Night Live.
And Farley is just amazing.
He's a revelation in that sketch.
Oh my God.
And I think as well, it's a sketch all about communication.
Yeah.
And I think when you've done the Japanese character, when I've seen you MC Fuck Club and stuff like that, I think that's what it has in common, is that sketch is all about communication, trying to get stuff, not just jokes, but character across to an audience that have no verbal context for it at all.
So, yeah, just to clarify to the horny babies, I think we did talk about this in episode one, and I swear to God, we've talked about this on many other podcasts as well. Dave has sometimes emceed or performed entirely in Japanese to rooms full of people that don't speak Japanese, and it is still somehow like the funniest thing.
It's one of the funniest things you've ever seen
because all the like cues that you get come from just picking it up over the course of time that you're on stage. I've seen you do it a bunch of times. And every time it's like a pure joy, especially watching the audience start to figure out what things must mean. And you're based off your body language and your tone of voice and stuff like that. It's so good.
That's when I first moved to Japan, I would watch Japanese comedy. And their stand-up is all double acts. It's the opposite to over here. It's very rare that you'll get a single performer doing stand-up. And just watching them interact with each other and watching the status and just you it was hilarious. I loved watching it. I loved feeling their rhythms, their cadence, the tension, the status, all that sort of stuff. You can 70% of communication is non-verbal, so you can get a lot out of it, which is
and that sketch of Mike's in particular, I reckon it's like, it's almost pure Mike because he knows that the audience doesn't understand what he's saying, but he's still being him just through another language or through a filter. It has all the things that Mike does, the kind of like shit jokes that he then laughs at.
The faces and the
faces, the mugging. And it's God. We don't know what he's saying, but you get it. You're like, that's classic Mike right there.
Yeah, it's exactly. Totally is what makes that sketch. So Farley makes it so magical because he's your connection.
Your surrogate.
Yeah.
Isn't it the best? It's like the best sketch reveal. I love that
none of it is subtitled.
Yeah.
And the reveal, when he goes, I don't know.
Yeah, that's like one of the great sketch reveals because the sketch has been going for like a minute by that point.
Yeah.
And there's been no English. And then when you finally get to him and he doesn't speak Japanese, it's like... like one of the greatest written sketches, I've got to say. It's so good.
And I think as well, another really clever thing about that sketch in regards to Mr. Farley is that he keeps on yelling to his wife that we don't see them. We are the wife.
Yeah.
We're just there. Yeah. Yeah. We're there going like, I can't help you at all. I'm so sorry.
I'm trying to think, what's the wife's name? Is it Marjorie or something?
Oh, God, I can't remember.
Is it Diane? I don't know.
God. Call the embassy.
Oh, it's so good. But I can see some of Mike's DNA in you, especially like when I see you do the Japanese stuff, that's the most clear because...
it's the broadest thing you would do.
Yeah, you're communicating through ways other than language. And it's so like... that's like pure comedy. It's like clowning in a way, like the way that you perform. And that's something that Mike has that you would have in common with him, I guess.
I'm flattered. I don't know what to say. But clowning. I like to think of myself as a clown. I have been a clown. I have done the fool. My best friend is a clown in the Moscow Circus.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, Goldie. Now he's moved over to Hudson Circus. Goldie the Clown. He was the clown at Dreamworld. There's a statue of him at Dreamworld.
Wow.
Really?
You haven't got a statue there.
Oh, I didn't get a statue.
Nah, that's bullshit, but
I did learn a lot about clowning from Goldie the Clown.
From Goldie.
And I also...
We've got to get a statue of you at Frankie's or something.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe made our pizza. That'd be awesome. I think as well with your... the way that you perform stand-up as well, where it's like all very musical. When you have the guitar, you've got... It's what I love about it is like you're watching a heavy metal show that just happens to be super funny. And I think of when you're performing that way, another part of like the mic element, we already know that Austin Powers started out as that, as a front man to a band when he was testing out the character for Ming T. And I think what you do that's similar to that is that it is so... it's like very like earnest because you're putting all of your energy into it and that shows in the character and it's you trying really hard as well and trying really hard to be cool, which I think is another Mike.
Yeah, totally.
Mike touch.
I've never even thought about that.
Well, we're academics now. We're not, we're no longer comedians. We're just academics of the work of one comedian.
Yeah, I guess there is a lot of Mike DNA in me.
Oh, behave.
Showing. there's others, but it's certainly he was definitely one of my biggest influences.
Yeah.
And Dana as well.
Yeah.
Just the versatility of Dana Carvey is just
is
underrated.
I think that's why maybe people focus on Mike more. I mean, do they? It's just us. But, because he does have that leading man thing, that pure creative type. Where I think Dana is such a wonderful actor and like an amazing chameleon as well. Mm. He's a comedic chameleon. And I think that's a rare thing where someone can change their persona so much from character to character. Yeah.
The other one is Farley.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because he's got that energy.
Yeah.
And it's just so you know, that I fucking love. Matt Foley is just
one of the great characters.
Down by the river.
So good.
It's just
written by Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
Is it? Right. Mm. Okay. That's
so
cool.
Good.
Yeah,
so
man.
Good. I can see that. He's a nuclear reactor of a performer. He's like always on the verge of blowing up.
Exactly.
It's just underneath the surface.
Yeah, I channel a lot of Farley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big time.
It's so interesting to see how people's SNL generation becomes such a huge influence for them. Mm. I think Cameron and I are a bit outliers, and probably Clinton as well, where, you know, our generation was probably technically more like Will Ferrell, Tina Fey, Jimmy Fallon, because we were comedy nerds from like the age of like four. We tracked down these VHS tapes of like the old school, or the Bad Boys of SNL, like Spade and Mike and...
And Chris
Eddie
Farley,
Murphy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. My most commonly rented video from Video Easy was SNL 25, the 25th anniversary.
Ah, yeah.
It was just all sketches of like, it was basically what the 40th one just was. But a lot of Tom Hanks in there, and Bill Murray, and Christopher Walken, Alec Baldwin, all that stuff. I loved it.
Yeah, man.
So good. Well, maybe we need another sketch show. We need Wednesday Night Fever didn't last. We need another one.
When's WNF 40 going to happen?
That's the next thing we've got to try and get up. An Aussie SNL. And that can be the title. How about SNL Down Under?
Dave, thank you so much for joining us here on Mic Check. This was a dream episode for us.
Oh, it's a dream episode for me, man. I'm so stoked to be a part of it. I love this podcast. Yeah. So subscribe on iTunes and give it 5 stars.
5 stars. Thank you so much.
And in your 5-star review, don't forget to leave what you'd like our next super specific actor-based spin-off podcast to be. One suggestion that came in today from my very self was First in Best Dressed, where we talk about the nanny and Beautician and the Beast, the Fran Drescher Chronicles. But one from a fan that we got just the other day is... The latest specific actor-based podcast we've got comes from Dirty Dutchman. He says, next theme podcast should be Inside the Schachter Studio, which reviews the movies of NBA Hall of Famer Shaquille O'Neal, in particular his magnum opus, Kazam, which is one that I would absolutely love to do.
The Schachter Studio. That is ridiculous.
Just a quick plug. Come down to Frankie's Pizza every Tuesday night and sing Foxy Lady or Feed My Frankenstein.
Oh, good move.
This is the best lyrics in Feed My Frank. Have you read?
Well, I ain't evil, I'm just good looking. That's like my favorite opening line to a song. It's so good.
There's so many. Quickly Google the lyrics of Feed My Frank's though. It is just hilarious.
So you've also got, is your special still on iView?
Oh yes, my special is still on iView. Yeah. I Wish I Had a Band, part of Comedy Next Gen.
And if you listen very closely, you can hear my voice saying your name at the start
of
that.
Yes, you can.
Cameron did open for Dave, full disclosure.
Full disclosure, and I intro'd you, and I really thought they were going to cut that out. But they left it in. And I did a pretty good scream at the start. I was like, Davey's gay! It was pretty good. So I didn't get paid for that, but I'm going to put it on my IMDb.
Well, yeah.
Or in your bio. You can kind of...
Yeah, I've been scrapbooking a bio lately, and so I might just put that on a USB and stick that in the book somewhere.
Is there anything else you'd like to plug while you're here?
Festival
runs at all?
I'm playing on the Gold Coast this weekend, Saturday the 11th. I don't know if this is going to be airing.
Yeah, it'll be out just then.
Saturday the 11th at the Gold Coast Arts Centre. I'm in Brisbane on the 20th of April at the Powerhouse, doing my show, my new show, Appetite for Self-Destruction.
You'll just miss me.
Oh, really?
I leave on the 19th.
Ah, damn. Mm. Oh, no.
Bummer.
Oh. I'm on the Gold Coast on the 19th, actually. But 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th of April at the Sydney Comedy Fest in the Factory.
Awesome.
So, yeah, for Appetite for Self-Destruction, check it out.
Great title.
Oh, my God.
And Cameron, what have you got coming up?
Well, I'll be in Brisbane from March 13 through to 19 at the Powerhouse doing my show 88. You can buy tickets at alist.com.au. And I'll be in Melbourne from the end of March to the end of April doing my Melbourne Comedy Festival run. Ooh. Also buy tickets from alist.com.au and please come and be my friend.
My tickets are available from alist.com.au as well.
Yep.
Because we have the same.
Full disclosure.
You can also catch me at Greenlights Comedy Nights on the 31st of March. I'm hosting it. It's $10 at the Gaelic Club at 8 p.m. And we've got Mr. John Conway headlining this one.
Oh,
so
great.
Come on down and hang out. Good. Guys, thank you so much for listening to Mic Check. We're back again next with another hot, beautiful episode. But stay tuned for right now. We've got a beautiful little song to sing us out.
Let's do these lines. We've got to get to here.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Well, I ain't evil. I'm just good looking. Start a little fire. Baby, start cooking. I'm a hungry man, but I don't want pizza. I'll blow down your house, and then I'm going to eat you. You don't want to talk, so baby, shut up. And let me drink the wine from your fur teacup.
Fur teacup? No!
Yeah!
No!
Well, I am no veggie like my flesh on the bone. Alive and licking on your ice cream cone. Feed of mine, Frankenstein. Make my libido. He's a psycho. Feed of mine, Frankenstein. Hungry for love and it's feeding time.
Yes, that is great.
Party on. Touch my monkey.
It's my check. It's my check. The podcast by Mike Myers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.